and with it his bodily strength was gone. He lay dying. But the death of a great mage who has many times in his life walked on the dry, steep hillsides of death's kingdom is a strange matter, for the dying man goes not blindly, but surely, knowing the way. And when Nemerly looked up through the leaves of the tree, those with him did not know if he watched the stars of summer fading in the daybreak, or those other stars which never set above the hills that see no dawn. The Raven of Oskil that had been his pet for 30 years was gone. No one had seen where it went. "It flies before him," the Master Patterner said, as they kept vigil. The day came warm and clear. The great house and the streets of Thwil were hushed. No voice was raised, until along towards noon iron bells spoke out aloud in the Chanter's Tower, harshly tolling. On the next day, the 9 masters of Roke gathered in a place somewhere under the dark trees of the imminent grove. Even there they set 9 walls of silence about them, that no person or power might speak to them or hear them, as they chose from amongst the mages of all Earthsea him who would be the new archmage. Genscher of Wei was chosen. A ship was sent forth at once across the inmost sea to Wei Island to bring the archmage back to Ro. The Master Windkey stood in the stern and raised up the Mage Wind into the sail, and quickly the ship departed and was gone. Of these events, Ged knew nothing. For 4 weeks of that hot summer he lay blind and deaf and mute, though at times he moaned and cried out like an animal. At last, as the patient crafts of the Master Herbal worked their healing, his wounds began to close, and the fever left him. Little by little he seemed to hear again, though he never spoke. And on a clear day of autumn the Master Herbal opened the shutters of the room where Ged lay. Since the darkness of that night on Roke Knoll he had known only darkness. Now he saw daylight and the sun shining. He hid his scarred face in his hands, and he wept. Still, when winter came, he could speak only with a stammering tongue, and the Master Herbal kept him there in the healing chambers, trying to lead his body and mind gradually back to strength. It was early spring when at last the Master released him, sending him first to offer his fealty to the Archmage Genscher, for he had not been able to join all the others of the school in this duty when Genscher came to Roke. None of his companions had been allowed to visit him in the months of his sickness, and now, as he passed, some of them asked one another, Who is that? He had been light and lithe and strong. Now, lamed by pain, he went hesitantly and did not raise his face, the left side of which was white with scars. He avoided those who knew him and those who did not, and made his way straight to the court of the fountain. There, where once he had awaited Nemerly, Genscher awaited him. Like the old archmage, the new one was cloaked in white, but like most men of Wei in the East Reach, Genscher was black-skinned, and his look was black under thick brows. Ged knelt and offered him fealty and obedience. Genscher was silent a while. "I know what you did," he said at last, "but not what you are. I cannot accept your fealty." Ged stood up and set his hand on the trunk of the young tree beside the fountain to steady himself. He was still very slow to find words. "Am I to leave Roke, my lord?"
"Do you want to leave Roke?"
"No."
"What do you want?"
"To stay? To learn? To undo the evil?"
"Nemerly himself could not do that. No, I would not let you go from Roke. Nothing protects you but the power of the masters here, and the defenses laid upon this island that keep the creatures of evil away. If you left now, the thing you loosed would find you at once and enter into you and possess you. You would be no man, but a Gebeth. A puppet doing the will of that evil shadow which you raised up into the sunlight. You must stay here until you gain strength and wisdom enough to defend yourself from it, if ever you do. Even now it waits for you. Assuredly, it waits for you. Have you seen it since that night?
In dreams, Lord.
After a while, Ged went on, speaking with pain and shame.
Lord Genscher, I do not know what it was, the thing that came out of the spell and cleaved to me.
Nor do I know. It has no name. You have great power inborn in you, and you use that power wrongly to work a spell over which you had no control, not knowing how that spell affects the balance of light and dark, life and death, good and evil. And you were moved to do this by pride and by hate. Is it any wonder the result was ruin? You summoned a spirit from the dead, but with it came one of the powers of unlife. Uncalled, it came from a place where there are no names. Evil, it wills to work evil through you. The power you had to call it gives it power over you. You are connected. It is the shadow of your arrogance, the shadow of your ignorance, the shadow you cast. Has a shadow a name?
Ged stood sick and haggard, he said at last.
Better I had died.
Who are you to judge that? You for whom Nemeli gave his life? You are safe here. You will live here and go on with your training. They tell me you were clever. Yeah, well, go on and do your work. Do it well. It is all you can do.
So Genscher ended and was suddenly gone, as is the way of mages. The fountain leaped in the sunlight, and Ged watched it a while and listened to its voice, thinking of Nemeli. And once in that court, he had felt himself to be a word spoken by the sunlight. Now, the darkness also had spoken, a word that could not be unsaid. He left the court, going to his old room in the South Tower, which they had kept empty for him, and he stayed there alone. When the gong called to supper, he went, but he would hardly speak to the other lads at the long table or raise his face to them, even those who greeted him most gently. So after a day or two, they